magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. It's the Prime Life Times in Review.
Yeah.
That's been our pattern. How long, Marianne? About a year or so, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I don't know. Maybe a
year. Well, it's been what? How long with the paper?
2 years. This will be our 2 years in 1 month.
I suddenly feel very tired.
That's a tiring week. A lot going on. In fact, I didn't get to recap on Monday or Tuesday. We had Dr. David Webb in with our Memorization Monday and Testimony Tuesday.
That was great.
Dr. Webb is a teacher.
Yeah.
He loves to divide God's word, to share it. And if you would have sat here in the studio with Dr. Webb and looked at the Bible, remember when he had it open to Romans chapter 8?
Yes, I know.
You literally could not even distinguish words from the notes he wrote.
Yeah.
And the page was totally covered.
He had notes all over it.
Yeah. And when we did our discussion, he went from memory and, it says in Isaiah, it says in this, and referenced so many scriptures. So if you missed Monday or Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, I invite you to tune in. You'll really be blessed. And men, if you have a willingness to be a part of a men's study this Saturday, the first and third Saturday of every month in Mahomet, Illinois, at the Open Door. It's a downtown storefront that is being rented out by a number of donors. They open it up to the community to host Bible studies, prayer nights, movie nights, and such. Well, Dr. Webb, from 7 to 8:30, the first and third Saturday in the month, so this coming November 2nd, he'll be launching into a study over his book, Letters to David. An older man writes letters to himself as a younger man on critical areas of living. And if you've ever been in Dr. Webb's Bible studies, he's taught through the Bible for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I've been under his teaching for a number of years myself.
Well, you've mentioned it a number of times.
Oh, he's a phenomenal teacher. But this is going to be a men's study from 7 to 8:30 starting this Saturday. Mm-hmm. So you can call the station. I can give you more details. But if you go to the-openroom.com, the-openroom.com, you can find out more information about what goes on at the Open Room, including the study that starts for men this Saturday at 7. So, I'm excited. Our special guest on this Prime Life Times in Review on Wednesday is Lyle Cleary. And you arrived about a half hour early, and we got to talk. And I was thinking, Marianne, this should be a Testimony Tuesday. Lyle has been involved in the community for so many years, wearing so many different hats, doing a lot of different things, fascinated by his sharp mind and his ability to write these very creative stories.
They
I think we've had four or five different ones that he submitted over the months, especially this one that he's going to read. I know there's another good one coming up in November.
Yeah.
But as we got to talk, Lyle, I just appreciated your storytelling, your enthusiasm for life, and the fact, this really motivates me, that this coming January he'll be 80. And I'm thinking, wow, if I could be that energetic, engaged, full of life at 80, that's like 20 years from now. It's kind of like Max Norman, who's in his 90s. Max is another model to me of finishing well, being a senior saint that's engaged, that's sharp. Max, to this day, in his 90s, I think mid-90s now, he still is reading books. Mark, you got to learn this chapter about God's grace. Do you know about God's mercy, Mark? And, I mean, Max, in his 90s, is still a faithful believer, energized. And, Lyle, you have those same kind of traits. So Max would be like a role model for you, because you're only going to be 80. Max is in his mid-90s, but you seem to have a grasp on life, to be involved, engaged. You're still doing genealogies. I know you love to write, and you didn't have really formal college training. It was just, I don't know if you'd call it a gift from God. How do you come up with these stories, and how do you write them so well? Because I'll quote Rob.
That's just so many questions.
Yeah, Rob. Yeah. So we're going to let you talk in a minute here, but like Rob, we brag up. Rob knows something about everything. He's
Hi,
our
editor.
Hey, Rob. You should have been here, Rob, but I guess Mary was sick or you couldn't make it. But Rob says of Lyle, and Rob is somebody that is gifted at his trade. He used to teach editors how to edit. But he says of Lyle, he says, Lyle, I know some PhD students that couldn't come up with the story and the way you present them.
Write it so well.
And write it as well as you do. So that's a real credit to you.
It is. That's a compliment.
Who do you give this credit to? How did you come upon this gift?
Well, Mark, I'm glad you invited me to here today, Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
the Lord has blessed me with the ability to just walk up to start talking to strangers. And I've been blessed with a lot of characters in my life, Rob being one of them.
Yeah, we both laughed about our Rob stories.
I personally know an astronaut that I've met through our common love of the pedal steel guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And just other people that it's just unreal, the people I've known.
Okay, I'm going to make myself look bad right here. And Jim Gunther is listening, and he's probably got his hand to his head. What is a pedal steel guitar?
Yeah, well, in my byline on these articles, I play pedal steel with the Marvin Lee Band. He's a well-known historical figure in the country music around the Champaign-Urbana area. And he's still playing at the age of, I think he's 85 now. And he still sounds as good as he did when I remember hearing him 40 years ago. Hmm. But a pedal steel is most people knew what a Hawaiian guitar was back years ago.
Uh-huh.
Well, instead of shaping the bar, you angle the bar in your left hand, you've got pedals and knee levers. You pull the strings and lower the strings to get that same effect.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
It's just a wonderful instrument, if you like that thing.
And Marvin Lee, I think for some years, he and his band used to be here at Lincoln Square on Sundays, sometimes putting on presentations.
Right.
And yeah, he's like a legend in this area.
Yep,
and still going strong.
Still going strong.
Yeah.
Great.
And
he's
got
a
great faith journey. Yeah, we have to have maybe Marvin Lee in sometime.
Hey,
that
fun.
Is
we
a good
have,
idea.
Yeah.
We
can have you back.
He's still in good voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Well, you've got a great article here, and I don't know if you knew that your age was going to be such a big part of the program.
Well,
but clearly,
really
Mark
care.
Was very enthused.
I don't really care what people say about me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 80 gives me, and I think many other listeners, hope, and you're active. And I was sharing, you know, there's a couple of racquetball buddies, John O'Donnell, who's in his later 80s, maybe 90s, nationally ranked. But I'm thinking, wow, that means I could potentially play racquetball for 20 or 30 more years. And it's fascinating to have senior saints that are still so engaged and full of life. And for many of us, it raises up the banner or the standard or
the bar.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
That's it.
Thank you, Marianne. And so, no, I'm excited. And like I said, Max Norman and others, Herb Ketchum and others that are finishing well, model to our younger generation. And then hopefully I'm modeling to... I'm still a youngster.
Okay.
Soon to be 60, but, you know, excited that God's still got so much work for us to do. And when you write stories that help captivate us with past history or things that you've done or experienced, you know, it's kind of that Paul, that Barnabas, that Timothy. All of us should be Paul, should be mentoring younger people like Paul mentored Timothy. And there needs to be Timothys under us that we're mentoring and helping. And then there's those Barnabases, those that encourage us along the way and model to us and our friends and build us up. So, yeah, I love senior saints that are finishing well and engaged. And Lyle, this is a great story. It's titled Shuckin' Corn.
Read it to us, Lyle.
Well, thank you. Corn husking was a big deal. It was the most time-consuming fall and winter activity for most Midwest farmers, who also had morning and evening chores to attend to. In 1940, an Illinois man, 27-year-old Irvin Bauman from Woodford County, won the National Corn Husking Contest held that year near Davenport, Iowa, by picking and shucking about an ear a second for 80 minutes.
Wow. Think about that.
That is a lot of work.
Yeah.
He had placed second in two earlier years, 1935 and 1939. The contest was also a big deal for over 160,000 people attending the 1940 contest. That was the year I was born, by the way.
Oh, wow.
With thousands more listening to WLS radio. As a child growing up during World War II, I observed many farmers picking, shucking, or husking corn by hand. All you needed was a team of horses, a box wagon, a shucking peg, a pair of gloves, and two willing hands.
Now, for some maybe unfamiliar, a shucking peg.
That was an article. I was like, think of a railroad spike or a small railroad spike with leather on the back of it you can hold in your hand. Well, I'll tell you, something that reminds you better of that would be a potato peeler without the blade.
Okay.
It was a kind of a rounded tip on it. And the purpose was to separate the shuck from the ear and pull it down and then break the ear off the stalk.
And so that guy who could do an ear a second, like for 80 minutes, he was working. Wow.
He was working.
That's great sound effect.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lyle.
Take it away.
One morning I looked west out our house and saw a team of horses pulling a wagon and a man picking corn. I walked toward the field and found the man to be my Grandpa McGowan's brother, Benjamin Franklin McGowan. We called him Uncle Frank, but most adults called him Red because of his red hair and complexion. His red complexion was caused mostly by his affinity for the demon rum.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was definitely most of the time, ever since I can remember him.
Oh.
The box wagon's dimensions were approximately 4 foot wide, 10 foot long, and 5 foot deep, which gave the capacity to hold about 40 bushels of corn. Now, let me edit this a little bit. I don't think those dimensions were quite that big. It's probably 3.5 foot wide by 4 foot deep by maybe 8 foot long.
Okay.
But I was doing it from memory. As a child of 4 or 5 years old, it was bigger than that.
Sure, sure.
The opposite side of the wagon from where the workmen threw the corn in had a bank board known as a bang board in some areas, from which thrown corn would bounce and fall down into the wagon if the worker misjudged his throw. The rear of the wagon held a door called a shovel board or shoveling board, hence so that when it was lowered, it provided a platform for the woodman to stand on to shovel the corn to a corn crib. The worker would pick two rows at a time, and the horses were trained to walk and stop on command, following the two rows of corn already picked. A workman of that era was to pick 40 bushels of corn and scoop them off, which took most of the morning. He would then eat lunch and pick another load in the afternoon. The field where Uncle Frank was picking corn was adjacent to Decatur sand and gravel, which was called the hydraulic because they pumped the sand and gravel out using a large system of floating pipes about a foot in diameter suspended on floating pontoons. The pumping operator would walk the pipe to the dredge up to a quarter mile away, a fun walk on a windy day. The pumped sand carried to shore by large quantities of water were separated out by large shaking screens into separate piles of sand and gravel of all different sizes. The water drained back into the pond.
I think that's still happening, a portion of that, in Mahomet. There's an area where they have these big sand dunes, and they're pulling out these rocks, and they're pumping, and there are these big pipes, and there's some kind of system where I'm like, wow, what's going on here?
No corn, though.
The size of the rocks is almost the size of your head that they could pump out just using the power of the water. 30 or so years after Uncle Frank had picked corn in that field, the large pond formed by years of pumping water, log, sand, and gravel would be named Lake Tokorozawa in honor of the Decatur sister city in Japan. Hmm. It's a pretty good-sized lake. It's probably 15 or 20 acres or better.
Wow.
When we moved to the country, my Grandpa McGowan picked corn the same way, using a team of horses and a rack wagon. This rack wagon was designed to haul hay, baled or loose, but with a foot or so of sideboards, it could haul anything. In my mind's eye, I can see Grandpa standing, using a pitchfork, throwing off manure produced by the team and his cow, Sandra. As an aside, this Guernsey cow and gold-plated Illinois watch had been Grandpa's retirement gifts from the owner of the aforementioned sand and gravel business.
Uh-huh.
So Sandra the cow was the
gift.
What a great
Sandra the cow.
So what was your gift for retirement? A cow.
That's a pretty good gift.
Now, who named Sandra and why?
It was probably Grandma.
Okay.
I would imagine it was Grandma. No, there's no Sandras in our family.
Well, one would hope not. That wouldn't be kind.
My dad and I would pick corn in a different style. We would pick and throw corn into piles as far as we could throw. Later, using a tractor on Grandpa's wagon, the horses were going to heaven. By the way, their name was Rex and Treasure.
Wow.
Rex and Treasure. We would stop between the two piles, shut the tractor off, throw those piles of corn into the wagon, then move ahead to start all over again. Sounds inefficient, but you know what they say. Poor people have poor ways. And we were poor.
Were you?
Yeah.
But Rex and Treasure were special to you.
I was better for it, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Rex and Treasure were special to you.
It was.
Yeah, they were.
And the byline reads, Lyle, a retired customer systems engineer, lives on a family farm a few miles southwest of Decatur. Summers, he plays pedal steel guitar throughout the Champaign-Urbana area in the Marvin Lee Band. You can email him at 6shift37@protonmail.com. Stick Shift 37 at ProtonMail.com. You know, ProtonMail.com. What kind of service is that?
I was looking for a free one, and this came up.
Okay.
And
it's so you
based,
took it.
It's based out of Sweden, and there's no ads, nothing. I mean, you
that's
get
great.
No, absolutely no
really?
Spam or anything.
Okay,
like
ProtonMail.com. Hey, interesting.
That's a fine.
And I want to explain the name Stick Shift. That Stick Shift Ford was the one I kicked out of gear and just about drowned myself if it had not been for a fence post stopping me.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's when you were a younger child.
No,
younger,
about three and a half years old.
And
oh
you were in the car and it dislodged.
I was parked on a driveway that had a slight incline to it, and I'd get in there, and I kicked it out of gear, and it rolled back across the road into this post.
Oh,
and the
my.
Post was right in front of a pond that they had pumped out earlier for the gravel business.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
So the Lord was with me, I'll tell you.
Yeah, at a young age.
Numerous times.
Yeah, praise God. Well, you know, when I was young, I walked the fields detasseling corn.
No, I never did that.
Yeah, well,
or suddenly that walk beans.
Suddenly that doesn't sound like much compared to this article. This is
Where were you raised?
Well, that's when I was living down in the Lincoln, Illinois area.
Oh, yeah. I never detasseled corn or walked beans.
They put us in the back of truck pickups and drive us out
my daughter
to
did.
These fields.
My daughter and son did that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And below the shucking corn is a really interesting picture.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great one. Where in the world is the Prime Life Times? And we continue to receive mm-hmm. submissions of you holding the Prime Life Times papers, whether you're on vacation or in your hometown or in your yard or home. And this is a real creative one.
It is.
How many? About 30, 40 people pictured. It's with the Oak Grove Separate Baptist Church at the Ark Encounter in Grant County, Kentucky. And there's one of the readers holding the Prime Life Times paper. And we got a number of submissions. In fact, when our group of 54 was in Washington, D.C., we took a picture of everyone holding the Prime Life Times paper at Mount Vernon at George Washington's home, with the National Capitol behind us and one other location. So in the future editions, you might see that. But
I think you had one recently. It was from Alaska, if I remember.
Yeah, that's from Mark Kluger. In fact, he's going to be a part of Memorization Monday next week, or this coming Monday. So
that picture's going to be in the December edition, and there's two grizzly bears behind him, but you can't probably see them.
Oh,
there. Well, I want to know, Lyle, what's something interesting you found out in this genealogy search you were telling us all about?
The most important thing was 40 years ago, I played in a country band from a fellow that was a singer, was based out of Mattoon, Illinois.
Hmm.
And we got to become good friends, and I loved him like a brother, you know, just a lost found brother. I went down to visit him one day, and he said, "Oh, good." He said, "I'm going to go visit my mom, and I've been telling her about you, so let's go over there." So we went, and I normally ask people what their names were, maiden names, things like that, and I asked her what her maiden name was. She said, "Ely." I says, "Ely, that's my mom, or my grandma's, on my dad's side's maiden name."
Hmm.
And she had a brother whose first name was William, middle name was Linder, last name Ely, which was this fellow's last name. Roy Linder was his last name. On that, I never thought much about it. You know, here I am in my 30s, you know, young and stupid. But anyway, about 6 years ago, I became a member of the Clay County Genealogy Society, which is over at Center Point, Indiana, over by Brazil. And that's where the lady told me she had picked up one of those Prime Life Times over at, what was the name of the Rockville. Yeah, Rockville, Indiana. But anyway, I learned a lot about the Elys, and I went to this fellow's sister. He had since passed on. I said, "Give me all the names of the old folks." So she gave me a bunch of names, and you wouldn't believe, but we were third cousins on his mom's side and fourth cousins on his dad's.
Oh, my.
And he went to his grave without knowing it.
Oh.
But his sisters know, and it's just a... amazing thing.
Yeah, you just, whether they say, you just never know. I mean, the separation of people is, you know, around the world. It's amazing how close and interrelated so many
of us
are.
Seven people apart, they say, or something like that.
And I found a cousin that lived there in Center Point. She ran an old hardware store.
So
we're third cousins on one of my great-great-grandfather's sister's side of the family.
So what heritage is the name Clary? Do you know?
Clary's Irish.
Irish? Okay, that makes
sense. My great-great-grandfather was born in Ireland. I've got proof of that. He's met naturalization papers.
Wow.
His signature is almost identical. to his second marriage bond.
All right. Wow. So you're an Irishman,
well,
at least in part.
I'm more German. Probably.
Oh, okay.
Because Healy's German.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it was kind of interesting, that person you mentioned from the Rockville area who picked up the Prime Life Times paper, because we've been making great inroads into Indiana.
Yeah. She was visiting on the color tour and picked that up, I think, in Rockville.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
She was from Centerpoint, of the gal.
All right.
Wow. Well, actually, today at some point, we're still waiting on the definitive time. The November edition is going to be arriving here. And I know Holly's going to be working with Richard, taking them to portions of Indiana. And the Hoopston and the northern area, and, well, people taking them down towards Arthur and Arcola and portions of Indiana, and then the rest of our 300 area locations.
Let's go to Decatur. That's where.
Yeah, we've been praying up and thinking through the future, maybe inroads towards Decatur or Springfield or Bloomington. Probably Decatur and Bloomington would be the next two areas.
Well, we did a delicious destination at the Decatur Beach House. So.
Who knows? Yeah, we'll have to. Hey, maybe you'll we'll assign you a little territory.
Yeah, you showed up.
You know,
job.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? You stay around me more than an hour, and you get assigned work responsibilities. Yeah. So
I should have shut up.
That's right. Yeah. So if you missed the story or a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, or pick up the October edition while it's still available, and you can also read it online. But page A4, Shuckin' Corn by Lyle B. Clary.
And if you want to read another great article by Lyle Clary, get the November issue.
Yeah, coming out today. In the next few weeks, you'll be able to pick that up. Yeah. I'm going to close out with a special song by Jimmy Dean called The Farmer and the Lord, dedicating this to Lyle Clary and all of our great farmers. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Lyle Clary with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
I was resting one evening by the side of a road, and I saw an old farmer in a field he just hoed, and his face was all brown and wrinkled by the sun and the wind, and he was talking to the Lord just like he'd be talking to a friend. Well, she said, with his voice calm, quiet, them corn tassels need sacking, got no string to tie it. Hadn't it rained in so long that the field is mighty dusty, and well, it's been so unbearable hot, Lord, that the kids is even getting fussy, and that grass down in the pasture, it should be knee high. If we could just have a little shower, Lord, it might keep the Calvin going dry. Oh, listen to me talking. You'd think I wasn't grateful. If you didn't know me so well, Lord, you'd think I was downright hateful. You'd think I forgot about that new calf that you sent. The money in the mail that took care of the rent. Ma's cold better. Johnny's home in the Navy, and that good Sunday dinner of chicken and dumplings and gravy. And that new preacher you sent us, Lord, he's a fine young man. Why, he just converting them sinners to beat the band. Well, I guess I'll mosey on home now, Lord. Won't take no more of your time. I imagine there's plenty of folks here about that's waiting to ring your life. Evening to you, Lord, and watch over us tonight. But don't you worry about us none, Lord, 'cause everything's gonna be all right.